You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we talk about George Miller's Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
Did you say Furiosa?
Furiosa. That would make this movie excellent.
That is the porn version.
It's already pretty good, but if it was a furry film, bro, imagine all the singed hair.
Someone's going to do something with that.
Snatched from the green place of many mothers, a young furry falls into the hands of a great biker horde.
You, no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir!
Yes! I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit? Or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your hosts. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
I am good. Oh, I'm sorry, Jared. I'm good. I'm really well.
witness me, Brian. Witness me.
Oh, let me get out my white mud that is just laying around somewhere. And I'll
well,
up.
It's always within reach because you got to be able to cover yourself.
I guess. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Hello, hello.
All right. That's getting a little better. I was thinking sounded a little like New Zealander.
Oh, yeah. No, because he's from Australia. And so he was actually able to do his normal accent in this one, which is he was basically Thor, but with his normal Australian accent.
Okay. Well, I figured out how to get to, you know, there's a way to get to the Australian accent. It's in size of a tangerine. You have to say size of a tangerine.
Size of a tangerine?
There you go.
All right. Yeah, that did. What? That did work.
There you go.
All right. Touche.
But what breaks it is a federal court order. You can't say that. No.
They don't
British,
have those down there?
New Zealand. No, it just, you can't. Actually, no. If someone is from another, like, English speaking language, they can't say federal court order in an American accent. It breaks their.
Federal court order?
Federal court order. Court
federal?
Order.
Cool.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you could totally be a Kiwi. You could.
Oh yeah. No, that's one of my favorites.
In Middle Earth,
go live down under.
That'd be fine. No. I think he leans more New Zealand.
Oh yes, definitely.
Man, I can't tell the difference, bro. I really can't. Although this movie actually does, like the beginning of this is the first time we've actually got confirmation that the Mad Max
is Australia.
Yeah,
it's in Australia.
It all takes place in Australia.
But now that they've opened up the world a little bit, you know, now this is a Mad Max saga, and then they've showed that the rest of the world is there. We could get like the American or the, you know, the European area and see what that looks like.
I mean, maybe, but that would just be more fanfic, like this one felt like.
Oh, it's not fanfic because it's
shots
by the OG.
All right. This movie felt like fanfiction. I'm sorry. That's what I spent the entire movie feeling. None of the magic from Fury Road was in this.
Is that a thing with prequels?
Way harsh.
Are prequels just like, are there any really, outside of The Omen that came out this year, are there any great, great prequels?
Star Wars certainly
Star Wars
proves that
episode
it's
one.
Total shit.
is pretty great.
What?
Get the fuck out of my face.
No,
what are you
come on.
About?
Besides fucking Brian, who had like, matured fucking like opinions on films. When I saw that as a kid in the theater for the first time, I was like, wow, Dad, that was great.
Oh, no, I left that movie thinking it was great, too. Yeah. No.
Okay, there you go.
But that's because we were withheld Star Wars at that age. What? No, I saw that. I drove to the theater. I was like 17 when that came out. Maybe 18.
Besides Brian. No.
We were so Star Wars hungry. You know, that's different.
No, that was me because I didn't get to see Star Wars until I was like 15 or 16. So like when episode one came out, I was eating that shit up like before it was released. And then when it happened, I was like, that was amazing. And then I saw it again. And I was like, that was okay. And then I saw it a third time. And I was like, the lightsabers were pretty cool.
I think that's
pretty accurate.
I think it's because with things like Star Wars and like with this film, you have expectation, and it's been so long. And then
I disagree.
It's a continuation.
Because they put fucking Fury Road in the goddamn credits of this movie because it's supposed to be like a leads right up to the beginning of that movie. And I had more fun.
Like Rogue One.
Yeah, I had more fun watching the fucking like recap of Fury Road in those little tiny snippets during the credits than I did in the entire movie.
I looked over and Brian's face was all lit up and he was like, yeah, the fire looks so much better in the other one.
Yeah. Dude, the epic, there's so many more epic shots and they pull all of them in there and I'm just like, George, how did you have like 3 million fucking cuts in that other movie and have so many amazing epic shots? And this one was just like, oh, okay.
The storytelling was slowed way down, and it felt more like movie-y. Yeah. They actually had scenes.
That's very true. Yeah.
The other one was very like, let's get on to the next set piece. You know, we got to get this thing moving. This one took time to slow down and tell a story, and it also like it tells a broader story. It's like it tells 15 up to 20 years of story, where the other one was basically like, you know, an afternoon. Or I don't know how long. It was a couple days. Because there is like the night scenes and then it goes in and gets all weird and blue. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one relied heavily on flashback stuff. This one, you know, is all linear kind
of. Well, yeah. Okay. But linear, the linearness of a story doesn't necessarily lend itself one way or the other to being like good or interesting. Like you can have a non-linear story that's still really interesting. You can have a linear story that's still really, really interesting. That's just like the approach that they took to it. And you're right. It is a slower moving story. And the camera work is more appropriate to that slower story. There's a lot of like one-ers that go for 2 or 3 minutes in this. Maybe not that long. Maybe they're like 45 seconds, but there's a lot of long takes that I noticed, which is a dramatic departure from Fury Road, obviously, where it was like, 36 frames was the average shot length or something stupid like that. Like it was ridiculous. It was a very fast cut movie, but no, like settling into the rhythm of the story, I was still, it just felt like, why are we here? Why do we need this? Like felt like Han Solo as a prequel. Like nobody asked for this. Is that just me?
I don't know. You brought up Solo. I do have the same problems with Solo that I have with this movie, you know, and there is something like knowing what's going to happen. There is so much suspense that's removed, and I guess was Miller trying to replace the suspense with tragedy, or I don't know, with hopelessness.
Like obviously, all of her friends are going to get killed because none of them are in the other movie, kind of situation. So, like, how are they going to die? Kind of suspense. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, just like okay, so like Fury Road, you don't know what's going to happen, except like obviously, probably Mad Max is going to survive. You know?
Probably, yeah.
Outside of that, though, all the other characters are all huge question marks, and there's so much excitement in that, you know, as we're going through those action scenes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when I was watching the movie the second time, I was, you know, I don't know, I was thinking, like, maybe that's why they add, I forget what his name is, Praetorian Jack? Is that what they call him? Is it Jack?
Yeah, the other driver dude that, like, takes her under his wing. Yeah, no, 100%, that's why he's there, yeah.
Not Mel Gibson?
Yeah, they're trying to give you...
Not Mel Gibson.
No, but he's got that Mel Gibson vibe, you know? He's a little more like Mel.
He is a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But still, his reaction shots and all that, I'm like, that's Mel.
Yeah.
He is missing a little bit of that charisma Mel Gibson had, though.
It's hard, man.
That's true. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah, I feel like that the character was just there just for like that big action set piece in the middle of the movie to have a little bit of suspense there for you as the audience. And that was my favorite. That is my favorite action moment in the entire film.
Which exact one? Part? Yeah.
It's when they actually do the huge big war rig. And like Furiosa's hiding underneath the war rig.
Oh,
and
right.
She's sliding on this cable. Like it's kind of interesting.
The stowaway was the intro to that whole section, or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. That was a pretty fucking amazing sequence. Yeah,
but also at the same time, like as great as that was, it still felt like weak compared to Fury Road. And, like, I want to judge this movie on its own merits, but this is a prequel, and the whole point of this is to think about Fury Road. And George Miller made both movies, and he wrote both movies. So, like, clearly this is what he wanted it to be, to at least some extent. But when we're doing the things in Fury Road, and there's, like, motherfuckers jumping across things and people flipping on giant stuff, like, it felt like there was, like, half of that in this. Did it feel satisfying to you guys while you were watching it, or is this just me? Is that too many expectations going in?
I will say, like, yet again, I've had a long month, so it may just be me, but that middle part, man, I kind of zoned out a little bit, and I was like, oh, wait, hold on a second, let me click back in here. I started kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say getting bored, but...
I think that's the appropriate word for it.
But when things start to pick up again, you know, and by the time we get past young Furiosa and we click into Anya's story and we start building on her and she's you know, it gets the train rolling again.
Young Furiosa was in the movie for way longer than I expected, like double the amount of time. I was like, I'm pretty sure we're like halfway through the movie and she's still not Anya Taylor-Joy yet. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, I think it was like the first hour. Furiosa is played by the little girl.
Really
well. Which is cool. It actually, she does a great job.
Oh, no, she fucking kills it, yeah.
And every now and then, like, when they cut into these close-ups, especially one of them when she's, like, on the motorcycle, like, hanging, and they cut into the close-up and she looks up, it's like they, like, laid her face, like, Anya Taylor-Joy's face on that kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt did that some a few overlay. Times, too.
Yeah.
I'm like...
she really looks like her, like,
yeah, but it's not all the time, you know. It's kind of like only in certain moments. I'm like, are they doing some like trickery here?
Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that,
especially,
man.
With the teeth.
With well, the there teeth?
Was okay.
Anya Taylor-Joy has an interesting mouth teeth thing going on. Also with her eyes, she's got an interesting look.
Well, yeah. The eyes, I notice. I will be on the lookout for her teeth from now on.
I may be into lips.
The shape of her mouth.
I don't know. You know, I'm always looking at people's mouths.
No, I get it.
Talk to me slowly. Yeah, the way a person's mouth moves is really interesting sometimes. But it's interesting that you're saying that they did that with the young Furiosa part, because there was a moment later where Anya Taylor-Joy is like facing away from camera and she's speaking to the people on screen or whatever. I don't remember what she said, but I was like, that's super fucking weird that they got Charlize Theron to like voice over this moment, because it sounded exactly like her.
And it leads in. You're talking about the last scene where it leads in. So it's basically it ties directly into it's the lead up to
it. Maybe it was, or maybe it was earlier. I don't know. I was like taken out of the movie because it sounded so much fucking like Charlize that I was like, what is happening? And then as the scene went on, I heard Anya Taylor-Joy in it, and I'm like, no, maybe she's just dropped her voice a little bit lower, and she's, you know, kind of speaking
a little
bit of cadence.
She was definitely doing an impersonation at times.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I was like, you're trying to channel her, so that's... But, like, it sounded exactly like her, and it would not have surprised me if they just had, like, a sentence worth of her reading to then transition into her. I don't know.
Hey, man, just like in Solo, every now and then he hit the Harrison Ford.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah.
It's just part of it's a part of the character, you know? Even though they don't really talk much, you know, they talk more in this one than they did in the last one.
Way more in this one.
well, especially Chris Hemsworth. Like, he's chewing every single scene, you know.
Dude, he was the most fun part of this whole movie.
Yeah, I don't know whether I like it or his performance or not.
Well, he stands out.
Honestly, same, yeah.
More than in any of these other films. Like he's got the big, you know, verbose role.
Yeah. It felt very acty. But I'm saying not necessarily in like the character is trying to ham it up. It felt like Chris Hemsworth just having a ball with it and doing whatever the fuck he wanted.
I was just really surprised that our villain was kind of a doofus. He's kind of an
idiot.
Well,
we all know that he's not,
you know?
But you're going in with preconceived notions. He kind of needed to be, because you know that he's not really the real villain. The guy who runs the, I don't know his name, the guy who runs the Citadel.
Morton Joe.
Morton Joe, yeah.
You know, he's the actual big bad, so this is the, you know, the pre-boss.
Yeah, but not in this movie, though.
Yeah, but we still know.
I mean, yeah, you know, like, Morton Joe's going to turn into, like, the bad guy.
You got to
right?
beat up Bebop and Rocksteady before you get to Shredder. I mean, and you know that you're going to have to get there anyway, so, and they're going to be a little easier.
I don't know. I did like the scene when him and his, I don't know, bike riding, motorcycle riding henchmen all show
chariot.
Up. Oh, my God, that chariot.
His fucking bike chariot
so
was amazing. I was like, this is the most pointless thing I've ever seen, and I'm still fucking here for it.
Why is everything so far away, and where the fuck are they going? It's just like, everybody's just always moving, like, and they're going 100 miles an hour. It's kind of like the sandworm thing in Dune. Like, how big is this area, you know?
Well,
it's,
I mean,
it's the outback. Ballin'.
Yeah, dude, they're not going to run into anything. It's only dirt.
Well, especially at times when no one's really paying attention to the road because people are crawling all over shit and you're shooting motherfuckers flying through the air and they're flinging fucking javelins with bombs on it at you and you're not looking at the road, and that they can stay in that fucking straight line, especially on this one where they were on asphalt at a certain point where they had this like perfect asphalt road across the fucking desert, you know, and they were able to stick it on there while this crazy shit's happening. They're really good drivers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's all they do.
He was the best one.
Listen,
they were talking about that motorcycle and the prophet guy was up there.
The history man was like talking about how many cylinders it has and the size of the block or whatever. And they're like, oh, yes.
And it's like pristine, you know, it's like a worshipped thing.
Speaking of history man, I didn't catch it in this until the second day. The history man gets left at the Citadel. Does he tell the woman, the woman that's got the in Fury Road that's got the tattoos on her? Did he like pass that on to her? And he's dead now. By the time Fury Road starts, because you know the woman that's like guarding all the brides, mm-hmm. She's tattooed that same way. Or is that just every villain has their own like history person? They're like, oh yeah, you got to tat this person up, you know.
Well, it's just. I just think that's how they remember things. It's kind of like Memento. That's how Furiosa had to remember, like, you know, she had to tattoo her own arm to remember how to get back home. You know, it's just how you remember things, you know, in this world. You know,
well, I thought she got that from the tattoo guy, the history man.
She did, yeah. Well, because he tried to tell her, he's like, let me pass it on to you. I'll show you how to write and tattoo and stuff like that.
I didn't catch that. I just thought he was just like, hey, let me help you out here.
That's why it cuts from him offering that to her tattooing her own arm. So she's like, I will remember my own shit and you can fuck off.
Correct response. You kidnapped me and took me away from the green place. Fuck off.
Yeah, no shit.
Ugh.
Have you ever seen a peach so big? Like, holy shit.
Oh, man. Goddamn.
Whose ass?
The way they were eating that peach was fucking gross, man. They were just, like, ripping it apart.
They've never seen a peach before, bro. They're like, what the fuck is that?
Okay, wait, what? Have these people never... I don't know. I don't know what the timeline is for Mad Max.
They live in a dirt world with nothing, you know?
Well, they open the movie with a little bit of a timeline. They have that whole, like, the same newsreel shit that every other...
Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic movie is done, but they did it in like a little quick soundbite thing.
Yeah, but that's what they did for Fury Road and for the Road Warrior and all that other shit.
They always set it up with a little tiny prologue kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there's no like, oh, this happened 40 years ago. This happened 20 years ago. Oh, you know, 15 years later. We never get like an actual time frame. It's just like, oh, you know, shit happened, guys.
We kind of do, because in the first movie, Mad Max is voiceovering. He's narrating, saying that like he lost his family in like the Great War or whatever, and now everything's kind of gone to shit. And if he's supposed to be like in his mid-20s in the first movie, and then, like, maybe mid-30s or early 40s in Fury Road. Like, it's not a very long period of time after the shit went down.
Wow.
Or at least, you know, so maybe whatever kind of war shit happened before it.
That would put this movie not too far then from... That would put it in between Mad Max and, like, The Road Warrior. Which, I don't know. That doesn't even make any sense. You watch Mad... Have you guys seen Mad Max, the original one?
I've seen the first one and the second one.
It's been forever.
Yeah. Man, the first Mad Max movie, like, motherfuckers are still going to get ice cream. Like, the world is not, like, a... You know what I mean? People have money.
Yeah.
They purchase.
It's just like in Civil War. There's that one town that still is like, we're good.
Yeah, yeah. The first Mad Max is definitely people are just like, you know what? We're just going to drive around and be idiots just because we can. And, like, there's fucking police in that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Mel Gibson's Mad Max character. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's working in it. Yeah. You're right. I forgot about that.
So maybe this is like, maybe that is supposed to be the aftermath of whatever already. Like, this is the last vestiges of society have come back together, and then it just all still went to shit. So maybe it has been like, you know, 100 years or something. But
and it's thirsty.
They had ice cream in his lifetime.
Yeah, that's true. They did. And it's like thirsty as everyone is, man. Like, there was still, like, in that wide shot in the beginning, there's still water covering the parts of the earth. That's how you're able to...
Yeah, you could just go out to the coast.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that maybe kind of maybe contextualizes this movie a bit too much for me, because, like, in all the other versions of Mad Max so far, like we said, there is no understanding of what the larger world is. Like, is the entire world desert? Now we know and understand. No, they're just in Australia, and a lot of Australia is a giant fucking desert. But a lot of Australia is also really fucking beautiful, so why don't they just leave the wasteland?
I don't know.
Are they all still here?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Although in that wide shot, the only greens you do see is the green place. But, yeah, maybe they need to get off this continent and go to Europe.
I mean, the outback alone is like the size of the United States. Like, this is not a small... you know, parcel of land somewhere. Like, it is a significant size, which is why they can have these three giant cities that they're, you know, doing all these warring fighting things and stuff between. But
they're the three fortresses of the wasteland.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. What? Who the fuck wrote the goddamn text on the screen in this fucking movie? They should be fired.
Bullet,
dude. That's what I'm saying. Like, it felt like a fucking. It's fan fiction,
man.
That's all it is.
What was?
I know it's Gastown. Is it Bullet? Bullet
Gastown.
Bullet Farm.
Bullet Town. Bullet Farm.
Bullet Farm.
Oh, the Bullet Farm. Farm.
The Bullet
Farm. Yes, because they do actual farming and they make all the bullets.
I like when they pull up the fucking war machine and they're just filling it full of bullets. Overflowing. There's just so much ridiculous shit, and they've got their fucking shit down. You know, the truck rolls in, everybody's pulling the fucking hoses off. And it's a really well oiled machine.
Yep, and the random war boys that got to ride along know exactly what the fuck to do.
Fuck yeah. With their little spray paint in their mouth.
I will go to Valhalla.
Oh, the poor little war pup, man. Wait, he did spray it. He did spray it in his mouth, right? In the back?
He did.
Yeah, okay.
He did.
Yeah,
he
right.
did. Yeah.
He just had no one to witness him. He was like, witness me, cabbage or lettuce or whatever the fuck he was saying.
It was so much cabbage.
I love that. You're going to go deliver that to these fucking goddamn bike riding clan. And it's, oh my God.
It's 1,000 cabbages.
it's like, this is what you fucking brought us.
Brings back the booty.
Hey, man, you can live on cabbage. It's good.
Just kill me now. Fuck it. End life and get it over with. All right.
It's that and mother's milk.
Mother's milk. What was the
actual mother's milk?
They mentioned roach meat, I think, as well, one time.
Roach meat? Oof.
How much meat you get off of a roach? Or a roach is really big there.
Oh, I don't know.
Depends. Is this like a Fallout roach? Or
a rad roach?
Are they the size of fucking dogs?
And I did like Chris Hemsworth constantly eating all of the... I guess the other gang members, or were they people in his gang that he was eating?
Wait, what?
He was eating people?
No. Yeah, he was. Like, wait, like his medicine person was actually making blood sausage out of Furiosa.
Oh, right. Okay, no. He
was sucking blood out of her and making blood sausage out of her, and then, you know, yeah.
Oh, he said blood pudding. I was like, what the fuck?
No, it was a blood sausage.
It was blood sausage. Black pudding.
Well, no, wait. From the sausage was from somebody else, though. That wasn't from Furiosa.
When he comes up and he's and they're introducing themselves and he's like, hello, I've been using blood from her to make sausage for him. You know, that's a line.
I think he says blood pudding there. And then the other time is the sausage is when like that dude comes out and like brings it out on a fork and is like feeding it to him.
It's good.
And he's like, here's humid sausage. Or I forget what he said. He had a funny line.
Human blood sausage. Yeah, but it's good.
The organic.
Well, it's the same thing in Demolition Man. He's like, there's rat. That's some good rat. he's eating a rat burger.
Do you see any cows around here?
Right. There are other people that are like also cannibals, because there's that whole scene where she like wakes up in that person's house or place or whatever the fuck it is with all those bodies hanging.
No, they were just hanging out down in the crypt, and you know, she was pulling all the maggots off of them to, you know, eat her the sickness out of her wound.
Well, the magnet, or was she eating the maggots? But she was definitely like eating them, because there was someone getting carved up, like. You know, like butcher.
Yeah, oh, that's waste. Right. There is that foot that's hanging upside down. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking gross.
I was like, oh, wait, I don't remember her foot getting fucked up. But yeah, you're right. That was somebody else's foot. That's right. Maybe they are cannibals. That woman was fucking scary as shit, too.
Yes, she was scary.
You can stay. No, thank you. I took your life.
Even when she's a little kid, she's like, yeah, I'll go with the man that murdered my mother and burned her alive and who knows what else.
Yeah, what the fuck were they doing to her there? Were they doing other things to her?
I don't know. Well, the one guy...
It's a lot of in the crotch area going on.
Yeah,
you know?
He's like, got that knife.
What's actually happening right here?
When? When the mom was like tied up
on that,
like... The mom's like
flayed out cross up on a, like a, yeah. like a cross tree and she's up above a fire. And this guy is either he's like disemboweling her like in Braveheart, you know?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely doing that. Yeah, he's cutting her guts out.
He's doing other things. He's just right up in that crotch area, which is really weird.
It looked more like lower intestines to me.
Yeah, it's just odd.
Yeah.
The guy that was known as the Octoboss.
The names of people are so amazing, dude.
Fucking Octoboss. Oh,
they're so proud of the names that every single character with a name gets a full giant thing on screen during the credits. Like, okay, we get it. They all have crazy names.
Man,
cool.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good, man. It's good. It's world building.
This felt like fan fiction after someone watched Fury Road and then played the whole fucking Mad Max video game and was like, I need more.
He apparently had this written the whole time, even back when he did the
Bullshit.
Last one.
Bullshit.
Come on.
Actually,
now.
I believe that. That sounds interesting. I could see that happening.
It's a very polished version of the other. Like, imagine what they had to go through to shoot all that shit last time. This time, you know, it looks a little slicker.
Looks faker?
Faker is a word I would use. This felt so much like there were so many scenes where it felt like they were shooting on the volume. Where it's like,
yes,
oh, look,
I had the same thought.
We're in the medium wide world all of the Disney shows.
And the fire looks so fucking shitty. When the mom is like, first like rescues Furiosa and they're leaving. And then this guy comes out with like a fucking rifle and shoots, the back of the motorcycle, blows up this tank, and her shirt and her hat fucking get on fire. It looks like ass. And when she takes it off and throws them on the ground, they even have like the clothes are on the ground. It's CGI fire on it. And it looks like, fucking just shit. And I'm like, well, you couldn't put some gasoline on that motherfucking thing and throw it on. Come on, man. Set that shit on fire for real.
It's dangerous. Can't do that. It's dangerous.
It looks so bad. Because, like, at the end of the movie, they show you fucking Fury Road, and that shit looks amazing.
It looks so fucking good. It looks so good. I just wanted to watch that again. Like, I really should have watched this movie a second time, because I saw it on Monday or Sunday. Monday. I should have gone to see it again this afternoon, and I was just like, I don't really want to. I'd rather just sit and watch Fury Road, but then I won't be able to talk about this movie. I'll just be thinking about that the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, fuck. It's hard to live up to one of like the greatest action movies of all time.
Of all time. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
How do you top yourself when you hit that fucking level? Why do you choose to go back to the same world after you hit that level?
Why would you choose to tell this prequel story instead of, like, giving us Furiosa and Mad Max back together again? Because that's what we all want to fucking see. Like, that's really what we all want to see. We really don't want to... I don't want to watch another sequel with just Mad Max or just Furiosa. I want to see both of them together at least for half of the movie. Like... The beginning, we can follow them and they can be separate, but I need them to meet up and fuck somebody up together. And then I'll be like, yeah, that was good. That was a sequel. Woo! And you know, like, maybe they'll kill off Max this time. Maybe they'll kill off Furiosa this time. But you go into a prequel, I know that's not going to happen. I have a hard time with that. I don't know. You know what? Why don't we take a break? Watch the trailer for Furiosa.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And we'll be back.
Furiosa! We've come too far. Furiosa! They took Furiosa!
As a child, my world was forever changed. My mother was magnificent. And he took it all from me.
Who do we have here?
She's from a place of abundance. This is our destiny.
My childhood. My mother. I want them back.
I want them back!
Whatever you have to do, however long it takes, promise you'll find your way home. Protect the green place.
It's time to take control out! Ray! Shetty! Guard!
If you find him, he's mine.
There will always be war, but to get home, Furiosa fought the world.
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for George Miller's Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
It's a fun trailer, man. Makes you want to go watch the movie again.
Yeah, it was a pretty fucking great trailer. Yeah. If only the movie itself had as much excitement as the trailer.
It does.
Did it, though?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of those things that when you look back on it, you'll be like, yeah, pretty good, you know.
I totally agree with that statement.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You got too much expectation. Yeah. Go, you know, give it a little gap when it pops up on streaming and you watch.
Oh,
it again,
I can't wait to watch it streaming. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And
that's
and
what this movie
beer,
felt like.
And you're hanging out and you're like, yeah, man, we're gonna do like a Mad Max like marathon. And
it'll
be good.
Maybe that's a better description than calling it a fucking fan fiction. This felt like a made for streaming movie.
It's not Roadhouse, bro. I mean, come on. It's better. It's better than that.
You know, of course, yes, obviously. No, I'm just. I don't know. I saw this trailer and I did get a little nervous.
Yeah,
the trailer's good, but like the effect shots and the peach that I could have sworn was a fucking apple until I saw the movie. I mean, it was anyway. Yeah.
It explains her weird puffy cheeks.
It didn't.
She got a peach pit in there.
It didn't get me super. Shut up. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No, that's hidden in lots of other different places.
This trailer, I mean, like, it got me excited, but I mean, I was already excited, but it did get me a little nervous. And then going to see the movie, it was like, oh, this is so much green screen. Not that Fury Road doesn't have green screen in it, but. I don't know, man. You can feel them moving the cars more, and when it is green screen, it is like the crazy, like, there's no way you could have shot that for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And damn, even their CGI fire looked fucking better in Fury Road, man. Like, the part they fucked up the most on at the very end credits is when they show Nux getting on top of the war rig right before it turns over, and he's on fire, and it's just immediately, it's like, oh, that CGI fire, but that looks better.
Looks better.
Why? And this had a bigger budget, too.
Did it really?
$168 million.
What did Fury Road have?
I think it was like $130.
Holy shit.
I think I'd have
inflation, guys. It's the same budget.
I mean, like, okay, yeah, but that was only like 8 years ago. That's not that much same inflation.
How's it doing?
Well, I think we all know it's doing pretty terrible.
I'll ask the question. Is this the difference between a cinematographer? Because
yeah,
dude wrote and directed both movies, and fucking John Seal came out of retirement for Fury Road and absolutely destroyed the. That was one of the greatest movies of all time. One of the greatest action movies. This one just feels like a mid-level studio film at best. Like, don't get me wrong, this is not a bad movie by most measures. It's just it's not fucking Fury Road is such a 10 out of 10 out of 10 that like this just it doesn't have the magic. It doesn't.
Not having Charlize Theron back too in this role is painful. That's why I think I also would rather have seen a sequel to see her back in this role versus recasting.
I don't think she'd come back after, the bad experience on the first one.
What was the bad experience?
Oh, her and Tom Hardy got into some really
fight. Because Tom Hardy's a total asshole. Yes.
Yeah, he showed up on set so late a couple of times. For like weeks and months. Yeah, and it
a couple times every day for months.
Oh yeah, and when I say when he was late, it wasn't like 5 minutes late, or an hour late. We're talking like 3 hours late, like proper late.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, how do you not get fired, man?
I don't know, man.
Right? Like he had done like what, Inception at that point. How do you just not go and be like, bro, get your fucking ass out of here. Who the fuck do you think you are? Out, done.
Now that for some reason my IMDb is not working on my computer, so I had to go to the phone. This DP shot The Great Gatsby, iRobot, this new Exorcism movie. He's digitally.
He's done some things. Yeah,
he's very used to special effects, digital stuff.
There's some good shots in this.
Terrible looking too.
It looks like doo doo, bro.
Yeah,
and like fucking. He also did 300 Rise of an Empire.
Rise of an Empire is trying to do what the 300 movie did, but doesn't quite get there, and it just doesn't feel the same.
So that's his thing. He comes in for the second.
Yeah, he says.
And
he
does an interpretation.
Yeah.
Now, we'll say that the overlit in the car seems close, but it's not there as far as like the vibe of that they're trying to get.
What do you mean?
I don't know. So it's like when in Fury Road, whenever we cut in and we got people in the car, and especially you pull up this trailer, it's always like really overlit. You know, it's got this like really giant catch light in the eyes, super like warm sunlight hit.
Yeah,
with the kicker, all of it. It doesn't care you're in the vehicle, and every time you punch in, it's there, and it's really, really like it's more present in the in Fury Road. And this one, they do it, but it's not like every single time. It's an impersonation of a style.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. That's a really good articulation, because this whole movie doesn't feel like. Because that's what's beautiful about Fury Road is it's just so fucking original, and it's so of itself. This movie feels like it's trying to impersonate someone else. It's like, I want to do that style. Let me try it.
There were no ramps in this one either. You know how in the other one
there's fucking
like
ramps.
Weird little like quick like slight frame adjustment stuff.
Yeah,
in the editing, I didn't feel any of that in this one.
Oh no, it's there. Every single goddamn every dolly shot is a fucking speed ramp. There's not a single fucking dolly shot that is plated at 20 fucking 4 frames a second.
Oh really?
Time. Yeah.
Okay.
No, they're constantly. Next time you watch it, watch all the people. You can see the when you watch human movement, you can see when it's sped up really easy. It stands out. But yeah, no, I was going through the second time. I was just like, oh my God, every shot. we're like into it, and we're like going at like 40 frames. And then like right when somebody's getting ready to talk, we stop and go to 24. And it's just like, oh my gosh.
George Miller's like, quicker.
I didn't just mind it so quicker. Much when they, in Fury Road, when they're with the fast cutting and the speed.
I mean, earn it.
It looks good. Yeah, right? Yeah, it just feels like you're just constantly feeling.
Yeah,
and seeing
you feel the push. You do feel the push in that, and that's what I'm saying. That was very, it was very evident when they were doing it. It felt like a stylistic choice instead of like, like I said, I don't know. I need to watch this one again with that critical eye.
Most modern films, man. I want to know, like, what is the percentage we're playing stuff back at 24 frames? I feel like it's got to be like somewhere around 50. You know, how much talking's done in the movie? Yeah.
Everything else you think is starting to get just sped up?
Yeah. We're speeding up a lot of shit. Yeah. Unless it's like a drama. Like, I mean, that is something like watching like Anatomy of a Fall. But like Saltburn had a bunch of those shots that were like they're manipulating with the frame rate. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's what people do now.
They were actually over cranking in camera with shooting on film instead of doing that digitally, I would like to think.
Oh, you know, they could have. I can't remember whether they shot that on film or not.
They did shoot that on film.
Oh, well, you know what? There you go. They probably did do that.
I approve.
What, Saltburn?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a little bit of a continuity, like, nitpick with this film. This film does, like, kind of break some of the things that were set up in Fury Road. Like, we know about the Place of Many Mothers and the Green Place, right? We know that's what they're called, right? And when we meet the Many Mothers in Fury Road, it is kind of like that is a society that was of women. And this movie, like, the first shot, like, we see is some bearded dude. Before we even see Furiosa's mom, is some bearded dude on some bicycle. Like, you know, and she's, like, sharpening her machete. And it's like, oh, if this is the Place of Many Mothers, like, I guess I just thought it was, like, this was all moms or
so
women.
We need more moms? Yeah.
Yeah, like, what are these random dudes doing out here?
Making them mothers, Brian.
That's how they become mothers, Brian.
That sounds like this should be the place of paradise for men. I don't know. Like,
why do you think all the biker gangs are trying to get there?
It's like opposite of Full Sail.
The opposite of Full Sail.
It is definitely a place of abundance.
Oh, my goodness.
Brian, to the listeners, Brian and I went to a film school called Full Sail, and it's also called Full Male because there's no females.
There's
at Full
three
Sail.
Or four.
Yeah, I know. But the problem is like, you know, you got all these dorky film guys, and so like, oh, there's a girl over there. You know, and so they're constantly getting attacked, so you have no chance. Yeah, man. I think we missed out, Brian. We didn't go to like a real college.
I went to a real college for, you know, a year or two before.
Okay, I missed out. I didn't get the proper college experience. It was just all dudes. All dudes talking about like.
Have you ever seen The Godfather?
Oh my god.
No, but I've seen Analyze This thousands of times.
That's actually me. Yeah. And Analyze That.
We did go see this today, though. We went to.
Oh, this is amazing.
We went to I don't know. It was a smaller auditorium. What we have, like, maybe
64-inch TV? Yeah.
Yeah. It was
go to the
parody cell.
Yeah, it was a very small screen.
Oh, that's why I went to the other one. Yeah.
It wasn't the smallest screen. But we went with, you know, guy that's come on the show before, James Young. And we sit down. All of us, we got our drinks and our snacks. We're set.
We're already eating. We're watching the, you know, it's the pre-ads before the trailer. And that's what set him off. He's like, it's like watching fucking TV. And he stays that loud. Like echoes throughout the room. And I'm like looking around, you know. Like.
Yeah, yeah. The trailers start in a couple minutes when the showtime starts. And then we watch that for 12 minutes. And then we watch the movie. Is this your first time?
It was more the size of the screen that was really giving him. He's like, I'm supposed to watch this fucking epic movie on this fucking 42-inch TV?
Like, my TV at home is bigger than this piece of shit. Motherfucker gets up, walks out. And he's like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm getting a refund. Right?
So he fucking leaves?
Yeah. But like, I look at Jared as he's walking out. I'm like, well, I bought the tickets. He's going to need my credit card for a refund. We'll talk him down when he comes back. We'll just be like, look, dude, you're already here. Don't make me get up. It's fine. This motherfucker comes right into the theater. He's like, hey, they need your credit card.
He came in and I actually started clapping. I was like, oh, you're back. And then he's like, I need your credit card. And I was like, oh, shit. The movie's about to start.
The entire time we're walking up to the front of the lobby, he's just going, I can't. I just can't.
I just fucking can't, bro.
It's so small.
listeners, Mike is one of the most persnickety people I've ever met as far as like theaters. He actually keeps a logbook of every theater he's ever been to, and he rates like what the projection and the sound and like, you know, the seats and all that kind of stuff. So
if
he
it's
knows
not a good
that,
experience, I'm not going back to that.
Right. So yeah, if you go and you happen to say that you know, theater six, because in every theater they all have different screen sizes and they have different chairs and projection systems, all the different sounds and all that.
Surround sound? That's only a 7.1. That's not an Atmos screen. I'm not
going
to see
I'm
that
not going
movie
there
on that.
Again, right?
So, what's the point of that?
Mike, you would definitely write this particular screen. Screen 10 at the Paradiso in Memphis. Write that one in your book to fuck
here's,
off.
Here's the real talk, listeners. I looked at that screen on Paradiso and I said, that is that auditorium? No, I'm not going to go see it there. And so I went and saw it in the other theater that was triple the size of that theater. So I went through that same experience. I said, no, I'm not doing that either.
Where'd you see it?
I saw it at Studio.
So not that much bigger, like maybe another 10 inches.
I mean, all the screens at Studio, none of them are big, but like
it's
they're all bigger
to
than
your house.
That
I understand.
Have they upgraded to those barcode theaters? Did you get the barcode logo before the movie?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, man.
Oh, the new laser projectors?
Yeah, that's their, yeah, the new 4K laser projectors. Yeah, they look pretty good.
They look good. They look good.
I like those.
I saw the first Omen on standard, like, digital projection and then laser projection. Way better in laser.
Interesting.
Looks absolutely gorgeous in laser and looked kind of, like, washed out and gross in the standard.
It's like going from fucking DVD to 4K. It's like, oh,
it is,
damn.
It is a big fucking step.
Oof. Especially the color, too. I think... Or maybe they're just like, oh, you know what? These are new projectors. We're going to put in new bulbs. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, the other ones just haven't been changed. Yeah, that's why it's so dim and gross.
Correct. Yep.
All right, I take that back. I didn't think that statement through at all. But this is kind of crazy how, like, the first Mad Max Fury Road, that wasn't a huge box office hit. That was under $400 million worldwide. But, man, this one's not going to.
Really?
Yeah. This one's not going to even. Man, I don't know if it's going to hit 200 million worldwide or even like 160. It's at 146 right now worldwide.
Whoa.
That's it.
It's already been dislodged from most of the big screens. That's why I had to watch it on a smaller one because I missed it by the fucking day for the weekend or whatever.
Yeah. It's a per screen average. Yesterday was like, you know, almost $100 per screen. It's like, whole. Yeah, that's like nobody going to see that movie.
That seems very low.
Yeah.
Jumping people.
Well, I think it's like last weekend. It did terrible.
It's only been out for the 3 weeks? Four now?
Yeah. I think, and was it next weekend or the weekend after? It's going to be on VOD.
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, it's already only on like one screen at each theater right now, so.
I can't believe that. I feel like. Everyone's like, oh, people are going back to the movies and stuff. And it's like, motherfucker, you do have to give people some time to see some stuff now.
Yeah. Put it for more than fucking 4 weeks. Like, seriously.
Yeah, that's not enough time.
Titanic ran for 7 months.
Correct.
Jared, and then came back for a Christmas season.
I think that was like the last movie that did that, though.
They're like, I just leave it up for the year. It's fine.
I mean, that's one of those, like, how many people were coming every fucking day to those two or three or seven showings that justified doing it for that long, though.
And that movie was long as shit, too.
Yeah, this movie's long as shit.
This movie's two
and a half
long,
hours. Guys.
It is too long.
It's 220-something, right?
228, yeah, but I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Once the Fury Road credits and the scroll started, I was out both times. I'm not going to lie. I was really, like, the end of this movie, I am really ready for it to wrap up. It is like some Return of the King level fucking shit at the end, man.
That's a good point, yeah.
Chris Hemsworth monologue at the end, I am just like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Like, why? What are we doing at this point? Like, come on.
Like, there's parts of it I like, but... Like, once he goes for the blade inside her shorts, and he's like, you know, he does his whole, like, there's no hope, my kids were stolen from me, you know, blah, blah, you're not going to get your revenge. And then he goes for the blade, and he's like, you know, by the way, that wasn't hope. That was just instincts.
Yeah.
Into that scene, right then and there. We're done. Go straight to the history, man. I don't need more fucking monologues. Way too long. I did like that you don't really know
100% how he died.
You don't need to.
That's not what it's about.
A fucking tree grew through his chest, and they were keeping him alive somehow.
Well, I mean, okay.
No, that was the other guy. What are you talking about?
So that's, is that the other guy?
No, that was Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, that's Chris Hemsworth.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that was fucking, the other Imperiator, because they said in the Citadel, there's this tree that's growing through a human flesh, and that was the spot where they were having their final conversation, because he was, like, dying. And she pulled out the seed and she showed it to him.
That's Chris Hemsworth.
It's Chris Hemsworth.
That is not Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, dude. He's got the beard, man. His beard is great.
He's just emaciated because he's got a tree growing through his belly.
Yeah. I think they're trying to show, like, so you're going from Anna Taylor-Joy. So there's, like, what? To Charlize Theron, there's, like, another 10 years there?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 15? I don't know. So, yeah, there's, like, that huge time gap.
No, I think because in Mad Max, Fury Road, she says she's been there for 20 years, so.
Holy shit. Okay, so maybe less then.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm confused because I was 100% convinced that the tree growing through the dude that's keeping him alive for decades or whatever was the friend that taught her all the shit about the truck.
No,
he was
he's
the other
dead
driver.
As fuck.
Oh, yeah, no. Because, like, she killed Chris Hemsworth, like, in the fucking wastelands. She wasn't anywhere
near
the Citadel.
Yeah, but she drug his body back and planted
why would she break? Why would she take the time and the effort to drag his body back and then walk up the fucking cliff to grow a tree through him to keep him alive? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
That was in the same exact spot where she had the final moment with the guy that she was, like, going to go off into the sunset with. And when he was dying, she was like, let me show you my history and my past. Here's the seed. And then he's still alive later. That makes sense.
No, that dude's
Chris
dead,
Hemsworth
man.
Getting drunk. What?
Yeah. Imperial Jack is dead. He's like all
man,
fucked
let me do
up.
A quick Google.
They show you like him being drugged behind that car. And like the camera goes in on Chris Hemsworth and he's just like fucking zoning out. Like, what is it? Eating human jerky or something? I don't even fucking know what he's got a beef. Jerky, no cows. Anyway.
All right, well, then I completely
George
misread
Miller,
that scene.
Furiosa plants Dementis alive in the Citadel's hydroponic.
Okay.
Line.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that did not, that was not clear in the slightest.
Yeah, because they're doing view. Like all the history man's giving you the VO, and he's like, so I heard that, what is it, the first one? They're all callbacks to things that happened in the other movie. She shoots him, then she drugs him like she does her boyfriend, and then he's being burnt like her mom, right?
Yeah.
And then you go to the peach tree. And he says something like, and what Furiosa
the
told me
tree
herself.
Growing out of it, yeah.
Furiosa, sponsored by Georgia.
Made in Georgia.
Made in Georgia. The whole thing. It's not even shot in Australia. It's all fucking on the volume in Georgia.
Oh, my God.
On the Walking Dead stage. You know?
Oh. Walking Dead looks better than this. I saw the CGI is terrible, man. I was like just watching the trailer, like when her mom runs in through that cabin and starts fighting off all the dudes. So it's like, I don't know. Like there's some rock formations and there's a little slit she gets through, right? And they're all coming after her and she's fighting them off. Everything in that background looks terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like she was standing in front of like video playback screen.
I wish they would. You think some of this may be the location? Because they didn't. They shot the first one in what? South Africa, right? And then. So this one is like.
Didn't they?
Yeah. It was shot somewhere in Africa.
Some of it was in South Africa. Some of it was definitely in Australia.
But yeah, I just. Man, I think those locations just looked better. Like, this is looks like every other desert.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of desert movies that have come out this year.
This is desert month.
Desert TV shows. Like, Fallout was also a fucking desert thing. It just feels like everything's, like, post-apocalyptic shows and post-apocalyptic movies are all wasteland cool.
You know what? Maybe that's why I didn't like this as much. That Fallout TV show was better.
It was way better.
But also, this is so, like, familiar feeling with all the characters and, you know, like, seeing all more behind all the, you know, the super, I don't know everybody's names, the super pale guys and how their whole, like, ecosystem's working and all that. It just felt like more.
Yeah, but, okay, here's the thing that bothered me about it. None of the, ooh, there's more detail, more backstory, more history. None of it I was excited about. Like, all of it had been explained so well enough in Fury Road that I didn't need any more of it. So this entire movie was like, let's give you all that backstory. And I was like, I don't actually care. Why are we spending time on this? Was that just me?
No, you're right.
What are the pale guys called?
War Boys.
The War Boys. They all felt in like Fury Road, they all felt like manic and fucking insane.
Yeah.
And this one, they all just kind of stand around and, you know, wait to be told what to do. And they're very like toned down. So like this, the vibe, you know. So but also this is 20 years before that. So,
you know, I think that's also
things
like
can evolve.
Actors being, you know, drug around on a huge moving set that's supposed to be a war rig yelling, witness me, versus being in a CGI environment with wind machines. Not really the same. I'm just saying, you know.
It's a different vibe, different tone.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, just thinking about Fury Road just opened up so many, like, fucking questions for me. Like, my biggest problem, I think plot-wise, was the fact that Immortan Joe sees Furiosa as a young girl and is immediately, like, straight up tells her as a kid, like, you could be one of our wives. You know, you're a full life. I want you. We know what he does to get his wives back. We saw fucking Fury Road. You know what I mean? And this little girl just disappears and nobody looks for her. Not a single fucking moment. They're like, Rictus comes in, steals her from their locked up safe cave, you know, and she just disappears and that's it.
No repercussion on him or anything.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, she just disappeared. And then when Immortan Joe sees her later, like when she comes back from that the run where they have that big battle at Bullet Farm. And she's missing her hand and everything. She's like, I want him. And like, Immortan Jones, like, looking her up and down, just like, You know, like, is at that moment, is he piecing together, like, oh, I know where you come from? At that point, like, when she starts riding with the guy, the Jack dude, like, she's obviously female. Her hat comes off after that battle. She's got her long hair out.
Yeah. No, after that, she's out as a female.
Nobody mentions this. And it seems to me like if she's so prized and she's got her arm still at that point, why doesn't Immortan Joe just be like, well, shit, you're a breeder. You're in here. There's like nothing said about that. And that is so much a focus of fucking goddamn Fury Road. That like the fact that this movie doesn't even address it, doesn't even bring it up. And that's how they bring her into the Citadel. I don't know, man. It's just that opens up so many more questions. Then it has any answers. I don't like that.
Yeah, that's where it just feels like it's like, well, this is what we need the movie to do, and we don't want to spend time on that.
Or maybe they just didn't want to take her power away, because instead of putting her in those positions where it just puts her more in a savior style, how they kind of play it where she comes in and she's only there for a bit, is the way it feels, and then she's trying to save all of them. She's trying to get all the wives out of the situation. And in Fury Road, it feels like she's been there for a while. She's one of them. She's part of the harem. And she's, you know, getting them out.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. If Immortan Joe wants her as a prize breeder, I don't know. If I was a, you know, ranch hand and my best cow went missing, I'd go looking. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I wouldn't be like, oh, well, you know, fuck that cow.
It's like, yeah, and then they can slip among us as a young boy with just, you know, a Superman disguise. throw some
she had a mask
on. Yeah, she fucking had a hat.
She had some goggles sometimes, you know.
You boy, get over here. Okay.
Oh, he doesn't speak.
Oh, that's right.
That was fucking awesome. Oh, I guess we didn't mention it, but that who is it? Rictus is from the first movie. The new Immortan Joe son in this movie is Scrotus. Is that what they call him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did they do that on purpose? Scrotus? Rictus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because one is the balls and one is the asshole.
Oh, okay. There you go. Maybe they should have had those. Anyway, but yeah, Scrotus is actually, that's the boss in the Mad Max video game.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure, but the little hunchback, like Quasimodo mutant dude that's in the Citadel that's like, hey, come here, Anna Taylor-Joy, Furiosa, let me get you a car. It's this car. Let's put a stick on it and you can have three wheels and balance it out. I'm pretty sure that's the guy that runs around in your car in the Mad Max video game.
Correct.
Shooting. Okay, is it? I didn't get that confirmed.
I played the fuck out of that video game and it destroyed my appreciation for the movie.
Like I wanted, like,
you were
legitimately,
like, holy shit,
I was
that
like,
guy.
The movie was the fucking greatest thing, and then I was like, the video game is amazing, and then I played like 40 hours or something stupid on it, and I was like, I'm so done with this world. Like, they have just they've given you every single fucking detail, and it's all so overdone, and just like it was boring at the end of it.
I rather liked that game.
It was a fun game. I needed to play half of what I did on it.
Well, 40 hours isn't much on a video game.
When the story is 25 hours, yeah, 40 hours is a lot on a video game.
I got 300 currently right now in Fallout 76.
I was about to say. That's just this week.
That's over 2 months, thank you very much. Or three. 3 months. 2.5, actually. God damn it.
It's summer.
Sure, clients, I'm getting those videos done. Oh, working on them. Render's taking a minute, though.
Shit's rendering, yo.
Still rendering? Been rendering for like 4 days. Oh, yeah, well, I got to get this boss.
New AI
I mean, this
plugins,
oh,
bro.
Shit.
No, these new AI plugins take a while, man. They're really like system intensive. I think I'm going to need to go up on my rate to help me render quicker.
And also, this DLC is kind of expensive. Oh, too real.
I think we've done it, Brian.
Have we done it?
I think we've accomplished what we came to do here today.
All right. Sounds fair. All right. Let's rate some things. Who's going first?
Mad Max. Wait, it's not Mad Max. Furiosa. A Mad Max Sega.
Can we?
Sega.
We didn't talk about how stupid that is.
Yeah, I don't like that. I think that's silly.
Yeah,
because Mad Max is only in there for like one shot, right?
One fucking shot.
Yeah.
Straight out of Road Warrior.
It's entertaining. It's a fun ride. I think it will play way better in the future. You guys may not be ready for this, but your kids are going to fucking love it. You know? It's one of those situations. I think that it'll age better than it is now.
It would be just like a Back to the Future's prequel.
Yeah, which we'll get eventually. Yeah, man, it's fucking popcorn movie. It's a summer movie, dude. It's fucking great. It's good. It'll get better with time. I've already said that. It's an 8. Talk to me again in a year or two. It might be a 9. We'll see.
Damn, Jared, that's kind of low for you.
That's exactly where
it's because I zoned out, bro, right in the middle of it, and I struggled with that. When we walked out of it, I told Brian, "It's like I need to see it again," just because I feel like it was hard to stay in the
that's
the world.
That's not your month, Jared. That's the movie. That is the way it is. I also was super in it the entire time, and yet was also very bored for more of it than I wanted it to be. There's a lot of really great things in this movie. Like Anya Taylor-Joy is fantastic. Like if you're gonna interpret it someone else's character who is already a badass as a woman, taking a badass character that Furiosa is, she fucking kills it. I was surprised that she wasn't in more of the movie. Agreed. But young Furiosa was also really fucking great. I'm excited to see what that girl's going to do in the next, 5-10 years. She's going to be in some really great things. I wanted to like Thor in this movie, but he just was the same character from all of the Avengers movies with a little bit more of his normal accent. And that felt like a weird choice. This movie has so many elements in it that I wanted to really enjoy and just kind of were fine. This movie is fine. That's really what it comes down to. I think if I watch it again in 6 months when it's on streaming, I might have a little bit more enjoyment out of it. As it is, it's pretty solid for a summer forgettable blockbuster hit. It's a solid 8. I wish it had more of the magic of Fury Road, but alas, maybe it's a cinematographer. Maybe that job's kind of important.
Here, here.
I'll leave it at that.
Oh, all right. Like, I've been negative. I've been a little negative, but I do really like the action sequences in the movie. They are a little few and far between, but also maybe that's coming after Fury Road, and Fury Road really is like, that may be one of like the top 10 best action movies of all time. Like, I mean, for real, like it's so good. I can't think of anything else this century that I would say like, oh yeah, that's confidently better than that. I can think of movies that are maybe as good. I can't think of anything that's
better or as good, maybe. I don't, maybe, or no, that's the same, I don't know. It doesn't matter. This one's, look, if you're a Mad Max fan, this is not the Road Warrior, it's not Fury Road, but you know what? It's a nice companion piece to Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. You know, two movies in her, you know, both leave, you know, that's where we are right now. It didn't have Tina Turner in it, but it had Chris Hemsworth,
it did,
you know,
not. It did not.
Not who was
he
not
was
Tina,
a good Tina Turner.
Yeah, he was not Tina Turner. Master Blaster, Bonnet Town. I mean, come on, get out of here. Tina Turner will win every time. I don't know if I really like what Chris Hemsworth is doing, but it's good enough, and it is fun, and it does breathe a lot of life into the movie. I don't know, man. I'm just really torn in this movie because there's so much good stuff in it. Like I really love everybody flying this time, like and parasailing around the war rig. We're not just other cars.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I like the war rig having like the fucking swinging testicles at the back and the fucking construction crane arms on the side. Those were cool. They did cool
those
things
are badass
with those.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite shot in the two favorite shots in the entire movie are both of that bullet farm battle where you have Chris Hemsworth reaching on the catwalk trying to get up and bullets are going down in his face as he's almost falling and trying to hold on, and then Anya Taylor-Joy when she's like behind that fucking gate and the flamethrower is being shot at her and it's just going all around her and she's just holding her, well, I don't know what it was, it was just the shotgun from the Road Warrior. So badass, man. Like, I mean, I don't want to take away anything from those moments. And if you're a fan of this franchise, please go see this fucking movie. God damn. Like, this movie's making nothing. And, I mean, I guess we're sounding like we're a little hard on it, but, like, it's better than a John Wick movie, you know? I mean, like, what the fuck are we talking about?
God damn.
You know? God damn. And I don't want to have those movies we came off really positive on. So, like, I feel bad for knocking it, but also at the same time, you know, I guess we're saying what everybody else is saying. It's not Fury Road.
It's like Die Hard 2.
You know what? Maybe it's like Die Hard 3.
No, fuck you.
No,
I love Die
fuck
Hard 3.
You. Die Hard 3 is
no,
a great
dude,
fucking
no,
movie.
No, no.
Okay, look.
Way better than Die Hard 2.
I don't think this is a bad movie, all right? But Die Hard with a Vengeance is not Die Hard. You know what I mean? It's not the same level. The script is not as
it's
good.
Not,
you know it,
but it is really good, though.
Yeah, but that it movie is really, also really just like this one, extremely long.
True.
I do get a little bored with Die Hard of Vengeance. Like that movie needs to end on that boat. I don't need that Canada scene. God damn! Let's wrap it up. Which it's funny you brought up Die Hard with a Vengeance because this is the lowest grossing Memorial Day weekend. The debut weekend of Furiosa, the lowest grossing since 1995, which Die Hard with Vengeance was in its second weekend. Casper was number one.
Casper, you're cold.
And Braveheart was number three. Crimson Tide was number four. Look at those movies, bro. Inflation, it sucks. So yeah, I think I'm gonna do a nine. I'm gonna do a nine.
Good man.
Yeah.
Retroactively enriching Fury Road with greater emotional heft, if not quite matching it in propulsive throttle. Furiosa is another glorious swerve in mastermind George Miller's breathless race towards cinematic Valhalla. Witness! Rotten Tomatoes brings in Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, with a 90% tomato meter, with an audience score of 90% certified fresh.
So all nine people that went to see the movie rated it at 10?
Over 1,000 verified ratings on the audience score there, Mike.
Okay, so at least 1,000 people have seen this movie.
Maybe 10,000. I mean, you know, as long as they didn't all go to the IMAX, then maybe less.
If Furiosa had been a standalone, it would be considered an incredible feat, but as the fifth installment, it does not evolve on the spectacle we've already seen in Fury Road.
Yeah. Both of those reviews they feel very accurate and well earned.
I don't know if the first Rotten Tomatoes blurb, I don't know if this movie enhances Fury Road. Do you guys feel that way?
It just, I mean, yeah, it gives you more, which is what it's about. It gives you more Furiosa, gives you more of her backstory and how that goes. But
does it
like
enhance
you said,
it?
But enhance?
No, because it makes
word,
more questions.
Yeah, yeah. And that was part of what made Fury Road so fucking great is that you didn't need more backstory. You understood where the characters were, what they wanted, and what they needed to do in order to get those things. And that's what every movie tries to do, and that fucking accomplished it in enough of a way to make you emotionally invested in their journey. And again, that's what all movies are trying to fucking do. Having more information sometimes may, you know, flesh out the character a bit more, but it doesn't necessarily make that movie better.
Fury Road ends so strong, too, man. Fucking Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron just fucking looking at each other, Tom Hardy disappearing in the crowd, and oh, God! I'm going to go watch Fury Road right now.
Yeah, dude.
Let's do it. All right, so with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at @checkthegate.
Griggs, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's Griggsy Media.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And I, you know what? I think we're going to play a little bit of the... We're going to play an excerpt from the first track just because I want to talk about this fucking name. The Pole of Inaccessibility. That's the first chapter heading. What the fuck does that mean, guys? You guys saw the movie. What the fuck does that mean to you? That's just a bunch of words that are put together, right?
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought I was missing the reference.
If you're missing it, I'm totally missing it. Yeah, I don't. I have no idea. The Pole of Inaccessibility. What's the pole? Are they talking about like from the Green Place to the Citadel? And because she gets to the Citadel, the Green Place is inaccessible.
Aren't they pole vaulting in Fury Road on some things?
There's a lot of pole vaulting.
All right, touche, Jared. You fixed it. So we're going to be playing track one, The Pole of Inaccessibility, from composer Junkie XL. Enjoy.